Mr. Carter, reel 3.
Well, at Meerut is a three-year station, which we didn't like a three-year station. We like to be on the move, and 3 year in them days seemed a lifetime. However, when we first arrived, there was a lot of between the old soldiers and us young soldiers, like mourning about wanting to go home and this and the other, and the old soldiers would reply like, your number's not dry yet and get your knees brown. But there was one old soldier. It was at the time the Queen Mary was just on a maiden voyage, and he was being ragged a bit by some of these mourners, and he said, you'll go home when the Queen Mary's a troop ship. And funny enough, a lot of us did. And there was certain advantages to the Meerut when you got settled down. The first year, I didn't go up on the hill station. I remained down on the plains. And I took on a job as with the school children that were left, and I went as orderly to the school. And my job was just to take them on about half an hour's PT and do anything the teacher wanted us to do, and just be there. So that's the first hot weather I spent down there was with the schools as orderly. And then the regiment came together about back in September, and we got ready for training, and we marched to Delhi. We did training around there, and there was a big parade. I remember it was some big boy from Nepal, he was. He took the salute, and we marched back. It was a nice scene, Delhi. We camped outside a red fort before we came back, had a look around that. The following year, I didn't go up the hills again. I remained on the plains because I volunteered to go to the 1721st Lancers. As they sent so many of their men up the hills for a rest, they needed some of us to volunteer to look after the horses, which, well, I thought I'd give it a try, and I went there for the hot weather. And I got to ride a bit, and it passed the time away. I've often thought, though, that how tiring is a horse as regards us. I mean, the infantry's looked down, but the cavalry was tied to their horses. For instance, Thursday was a day's holiday in India, and if we weren't on guard or anything like that, that was a day off. But them, the Lancers, they always had the horses to go and feed and groom, and that wasn't a day off for them. Talking about the day off on Thursdays, it was spent more or less, well, the warrant officers and sergeants would get together a shooting party and go out shooting, and I volunteered to go as a beater to one of these. I know they shot some peacocks. When we returned, they gave us a peacock to take to the cookhouse to cook, and it was just like turkey. Another thing we used to do during the nights in Meerut, I've never seen it done before, we could go down the bazaar, and we purchased these, what, silk skeins they were, balls of silk, and we made a wooden frame and put nails about half an inch all the way around, and we made tablecloths, and we even made some bedspreads. They were real bonny, they were. I made quite a few, and my locker was getting filled up, and I was daft enough to entrust an old soldier who was going home to take them home for me, but he never did. I lost them. Another thing, on the third year, I did get up on the hills, because we were picked to go to Missouri. And this was a nice station, and all the married families in that area, all their women were sent up there. I was picked as a, what you call a lacquery man, that was to take the wood round to the married families. There was a few Indian soldiers with mules, and they loaded this wood up on the mules, and we dropped it off at the doors. It was for them to cook up there. There wasn't, it was nice up there as regards climate, very nice. We just got up there as the snow had gone. It was just a bit cold. But then it got better and warm and just nice. What they mostly did up there for recreation, the women, was they had a club, and it was bingo and playing a piano, and that was all. Their husbands were allowed to come up maybe once a month, for a month's leave or something like that. Otherwise, they were on their own. However, we didn't finish our time up there. We were called back and got ready to go to the frontier. So,
did you enjoy being an orderly to the school children?
Not actually, no. It was a little bit out of my line. I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. Some of the kids were a bit cheeky. You had to deal with them.
Did you prefer working with the horses?
Yes, I did prefer working with the horses. Once you got to used to riding them and that and the other. Mind, I did get sore once or twice with riding them, but they were pretty good. They were treated very well, was them horses. They were looked after better than soldiers, I would think. Thought more of them than they thought of us. However, before we left, it was the last year for them as horses. They were mechanised at Meerut and became an armoured regiment. I don't know where all the horses would go to. They would go to an Indian cavalry or something like that, because the India's noted for cavalry, and that's where they would end up. The post bus, yes, well, it always amazed me how it came through. Like, everything else had to be escorted, and all the side of the roads were all protected, but the post bus could come through on its own. And I understand, like, that the tribesmen in the area were paid so much to allow it free passage through. I don't think it was any advantage to them to stop it. They were being paid for it. Such as they had tribesmen who were levies, what we called unpaid levies. I mean, they went out with us, but they were called Kasadars. They were also paid. So
were they reliable?
Well, I wouldn't like to say whether they're reliable or not, but you could never tell whether your friend or your enemy. I mean, in that country. But the hold they had on over them, the political officers, was if there was any trouble or that, it was to stop the money straight away. That was one of the holds. And if that didn't work, then it were a case of going out and showing the flag and maybe dealing with a few of them. But as you know, money pays the most, and that was the biggest blow to them, I suppose, to stop the pay.
Did you see any of the tribesmen's villages at all?
Yes, we saw the villages, but they were very poor and just mud huts, and always had like a large tower in them, I suppose that was for the lookout, and we never went near them much. We always avoided them. I mean, I suppose it was the best way to keep away from them, not to cause any trouble, but you didn't see that many. They were scattered far and wide in the area where we were. Well, there would be only a few mud huts, and you'd wonder where they all came from, but you never saw them much. You saw the women knocking about just with a black, mostly dressed in black, and they'd cover their faces more or less with a black shawl or something when they saw you. That was as far as we were concerned about there. The Gary Ohm, the start of the operations, the Gary Ohm was picked as a permanent camp for the operations. It was like in all of the hills. And we only went in late in the operations. The Argyles and South Wales Borders had been in the first. The Argyles had gone, and we took over from them. Now, the Gary Ohm camp, well, it had permanent pickets. That's pickets outside to surround the camp. And you'd go into one of these pickets. They were built for, say, a platoon, officer and sergeant, and a full platoon would go in for about 4 days. And the objective was to stop the tribesmen from sniping into the main camp. And, of course, you stopped there for 4 days. It was pretty boring, and night time and that, but you were confined, you see, inside the stone walls. It was very small, but it passed. You only did ever so oft. And then, with winter coming on, they'd been busy building a fort at the engineers and Indian engineers, and a lot had built a fort to make Gary Ohm a permanent garrison. And we were then employed on building the road up to it. We pulled the side of the hill away to make a road up to it. I think we were paid a few annas extra in our pay. We were classed as under some certain subsistence allowance or something. We got extra for doing it. And with the winter coming on, we were pretty glad to come away from Gary Ohm, because it got very, very cold. In fact, when you were on sentry up there, you had double the thickness of clothing you had in England. You had fur-lined boots and another heavy top coat on top of your ordinary khaki top coat. It came in very cold. And I think we managed to get to Razmak about November, which Razmak is a permanent camp for a year. You do a year there. We thought, when we must, after this, get a decent station, like when we've done our year, we maybe get a good station. But maybe we were more luckier than the Argyles. They went from there to Singapore and run into a lot of trouble there. But the snow came, and we were more or less confined to just guard duties around the perimeter of Razmak. It's a garrison of about, well, they call it the Razmak Brigade, and there's about 6 infantry regiments. And when the brigade used to go out, they used to leave 2 infantry battalions back to guard the camp. The 4 battalions went out on what you call column. And it was always a we were never left behind to camp. We always were out on column. It was always the two native regiments who rotated on stopping in, such as the Punjabis or the Frontier Force or maybe a Gurkha battalion would remain behind. But trouble didn't start till the hot weather came on again, what we call the warm weather. It's pretty quiet during winter. And trouble brewed up again, and we went out. And we run into one bad do. It was called a Deegan camp. And where we headed for, they'd cut the water off, so we were in trouble for water then. I don't know how they did it. It was said that they dammed the stream up and turned it somewhere else. And then we had a bit of action with them, and a captain was killed, and one of the lads got the DCM, and we were there 2 days, and we withdrew from there. But otherwise, it was not so bad.
Why was it that the Indian troops were left to guard the camp and not taken out in Cologne? Was there any reason for that?
I never found out the reason for that at all. Why? No. No, whether it was they did longer up there, or because we only did a year. I don't know what their tour of duty was, whether it was that, or whether it was because they wanted to give the British officers more experience, like. It could have been that. I don't know. But we always went out.
Were they quite easy to get on with, the Indian troops, or did you not have much to do with them?
Well, we actually didn't have much to do with them, but the two Gurkha battalions, we'd always greet them, "Hi, Johnny," or something like that. In fact, two of them regularly went to the pictures with some of our lads. We had a picture house in Rosmack, and they'd go in the picture house with them, take them in the picture house. I understand that the Gurkhas were the only ones that were allowed in a British mess. I don't know whether it's true or not, but certainly no Indians. But as I say, these two came regularly and went to the pictures with some of our lads they piled up with. And you always looked with respect on the Gurkhas, like, you, "Hi, Johnny," when you passed them, or anything like that. The other ones, well, I suppose they were all right, but the Gurkha was always the favourite.
Was there much to do in Rosmack when in the middle of winter? I mean, what did you do in your free time?
Well, there wasn't much to do except odd parade. You had quite a few guards to do, like, because you had your part of the wall to guard, like. You had so many posts along the wall. There was the barbed wire outside and the stone wall. Never so far along the wall was enclosures where you put your sentries at night time, that was. It was called the inline picket. And funny enough, the lavatories, the latrines, were outside the wire. And at night time, the barrier was put up, and one of the duties of the inline picket was on the morning was to go to the lavatories, go around them, and charge them, you see. More or less fix bayonets and go around them, you see. And they're only tin sheds. And countless soldiers that had been around there, I mean, some had vented the spite on them and put the bayonets through those holes right through them, like. But that was always taken as a precaution in case one had got, a tribesman had got in during the night and he was lying up for somebody, and that was their duty on Rivali, like, early morning, to go out there and open up. Because during the day, like, just above the latrines was a machine gun post, so he could overlook it. So it was all right during the day. There was always a sentry there, but as I say, during the night it was different. It was closed and outside the wire. Uh, And the water was a big problem in Razmak. Where it originally came from, it was always being cut off, so it remained permanently cut off. And we seemed to be always short of water. We had one amusing incident, like there was one of the lads, he didn't want to go to church or something like that. It was a church parade, and he drew a revolver, and we'd only been to breakfast, and he was firing away with this revolver, and however, they locked him up in the guard room. And we were busy once watching a football match, just outside the wall was a football match. And this lad happened just to walk through among us, like, and wondered what was up, like, had he been released or what? And it happened that he'd found a way to get out. The cell door was on a hinge, like just on a hinge, and all he had to do was lift it up, and which he did, and he lifted it up and just walked out. Of course, the provost sergeant wasn't very pleased about that. Caused a bit of amusement.
Were you glad to leave, Razma?
Yes, in a way, we'd had enough. A year was long enough up there. Well, we'd had longer than a year, like. It was a healthy life up there, but we thought, having done a stretch like that up there, we might get a decent station next. But I think we were unlucky again. Lucky in one respect and unlucky in another. We went to a place called Frozapur in the Punjab, and there wasn't much to do there. The only good thing about it wasn't far from Lahore, so it was also the biggest part of Frozapur was employed in a fort where they did all the repairs to army and munitions and all the lot, and we used to station a company in there, and that wasn't too bad. During the night time, the guard would go around there in underground, it was more or less undercover, and he'd have a clock. The two of them went together, two sentries, every hour or 2 hours, and they had to clock in. The clock they carried, there was a key in a certain place, and of course this recorded the time they were there, and I think there was about five or six dotted O's. Took about half an hour to walk round to clock in, what you call clock in, and that proved that they'd been right round the establishment, you see. There was no getting away with it. It's like clocking in at work now. That was new to us. We hadn't done that before. However, as I said, our only amusement was Lahore. And we used to got to the stage we went there pretty regular. But some of the lads got into trouble and, of course, got it put out of bounds, and that was a body blow to us. So we were having we didn't have many, we had an all-ranks dance, I remember, and the commanding officer came up, and I managed to get at his table and talk to him. And I broached the subject of Lahore, like. I said, don't you think you've been a bit unfair, like? I said, you put Lahore out of bounds. It was only our bit of sport we had, like, to go to. He says, yes. He says, I noticed the men weren't looking too pleased, like, on my way up, looking a bit miserable. I said, well, it would be better, like, if you were... And we couldn't care less if you punished the offenders and made it a good punishment, but don't punish all of us. He says, I see your point, and he was quite agreeable. And within a few days, it came on the orders Lahore was back in bounds, and we were happy once more. Of course, we devised a way of getting there without without a leave, a pass, shall I say, because to go by rail, there was always the MPs on the station, so we had to beat them there. So we'd go down in the city, and there was an old bus there. And it was always full of Indians, and we didn't care. And it was we had some rough rides, like, because some of them drivers, there was just a cloud of dust going along the road, you know, and the old buffalo carts and that, I don't know how the hell he missed some of them, but he used to fly along that road. And here was maybe a couple of us sat among these Indians, but as long as we got to Lahore, that was all right. Because we started then to mingle a bit with the Anglo-Indians. At Lahore, there was a big Anglo-Indian club. Also, there was the regiment there at Lahore had a regimental brothel, which was a big pull to the lads. We hadn't one, and it was amusing about that one, sort of, because though I never went to it, I heard some of the lads talking about it and said there'd been trouble. The MPs had come and knocked the place to bits, like it was only built of old mud huts and straw and that, and to the summit had happened, at any rate, they'd knocked it down. And I said, well, what are you going to do now? Oh, he says, it's all right. He says, they're still in business. He said, all they've done is piled the bricks up, put a few tins on. He said, and they're still in business. And anyhow, I eventually got stationed at Lahore. We were in a single section, and we went through there. And we stopped in these barracks. They were nice barracks. And however, it was decided to march back to Fraserpoor when we finished our time. And we were marched back in the hot weather. But what we used to do, we set off at night time when it was cool, marched through the night, and then we laid up in any shade we could find on the way back. I think it took us about 3 or 4 days to march back. Trouble was, you couldn't get much sleep during the daytime because the old flies troubled you there. You hadn't your mosquito net or nothing like to keep them off, and you sweated, there was nothing. But we got back eventually.